One of the ways we bring you stories from around the world here on the show is by speaking to the journalists who are covering them. Example, we're about to hear from Amy Ferris-Rotman, a reporter based in Russia, about the ongoing investigation into Russian efforts to interfere in last year's U.S. election. But as you will hear from Amy, covering this story from Russia is almost impossible.
It's extremely frustrating. We don't get any access to the people and the events that we're meant to get access to. Every time there's a new twist and turn in this story, every time the US finds a new character or a new group of characters has met the Trump campaign, we all think, oh God, please no, which is not really the attitude a journalist usually does have. I mean, you know, a journalist usually is on the story, is excited, but not in this case, because it's like, oh God, you know, another attempt that we're going to have to do at finding the relevance of why these usually quite random characters end up on the other side of the Atlantic trying to convince Trump that they have information. I mean, most of these people have absolutely no power in Russia. This has been something else which we in the Foreign Press Corps here have been trying to hammer out, you know, over and over again, although people don't seem to really listen to us.
Can you meet with sources? Can you call, like, who can you call in the Kremlin about this story?
Well, who can we call in the Kremlin? Absolutely nobody. Russia is a very closed place. It's a very closed place for its own journalists, for foreign correspondents even more so. It's not like the US where, you know, over years or over some time, you can develop a source in the White House, someone who you can trust and that you trade information with. It's not like that here. It's basically a sealed up institution and there's no way for us to get into it.
Does the Kremlin want to know what you know? Are your phones tapped? Are you followed?
There's definitely a lot of paranoia. There's a lot of mistrust. I think it's pretty clear that all of our communications are tapped in some form. I mean, that's a kind of we operate by this by an unwritten rule book. And there are various rules in this book. And of course, one of the rules is there are certain things you never, ever report on, which is to do with the wealth and personal lives of the people at the very top of government here. You have a pretty safe assumption that everything that you write and speak on the phone and your activities are being monitored. But anyone who thinks they're not is being very naive.
What about your Russian colleagues? What kind of difficulties, impediments are they facing?
It was no surprise to me that the only cracks in the Trump-Russia story have come from Russian journalists working for Russian publications here. So I think that's very telling. Being from Russia, having Russian as a native language, having family who are here, all of that makes a Russian journalist that much more attractive, if you will, but also that much more open to receiving information in a way that we can't. As Western journalists, we are simply not trusted.
Describe those cracks. What are they?
So we saw a couple of them recently, and they followed one right after the other. In mid-October, TV Rain, which is Dozhd, which means rain in Russian, it's the country's only independent TV channel. It's entirely web-based. And they were actually able to record an interview with a member from one of these notorious troll factories. And the troll told TV Rain that they were forced to watch the Netflix series House of Cards, which I was just finding hilarious.
That's incredible.
To watch House of Cards to understand American politics. And then a day later, Russia's RBK, massive, massive media group, they published a months-long investigation into the operations of the troll factories. And they actually proved the link that the troll factories were focusing on U.S. elections last year.
Yeah. The Kremlin has never really been especially friendly to foreign correspondents, but now some of your colleagues have been labeled foreign agents. Who's fallen into that camp and how has that threat changed your job?
I don't know how many have actually been labeled it yet. Some have received letters saying they will be named it. There's nine companies which are in the firing line. The most prominent and the one that has no government funding, the one that's most shocking to us all, is CNN. All of us are just kind of shaking our heads thinking what on earth is going to happen next. Yet again, Trump and Putin are seeing eye to eye. So CNN, Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Deutsche Welle, which is the German public broadcaster, and a few other news outlets which are funded by foreign government. They're being targeted. These are the ones we know about. Anyone could be labeled a foreign agent going forward.
Correspondent Amy Ferris-Rotman there. She's based in Moscow.